Our affirmation of faith today from 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, pulling from the 12th, 15th, and 16th verses, where we affirm, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. That passage goes well with today's theme, which has to do with sports, or the verses mention sports, Bible verses mention sports. The apostle says, fight the good fight of faith. There'll be some mentions of boxing in the scriptures, and the apostle describes these well and uses them as descriptions for indeed our fight of faith. The reading today is from 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, the 24th through the 27th verses, where he says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body, make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. There are several verses in the Bible related to sports. I am running in a race next Saturday, a 4th of July race, one of the most American things a person can do. It isn't really a big deal, except I last ran a race in 2010. I am 5 years older than I was in my last race, and those aren't the years between the ages of 20 and 25. So I think some of you have an idea of what I'm talking about. When I was running several years ago, I believed the process was giving me insights into the Word of God. I still believe that. That is why we turn to these verses on sport today. Now, you don't have to participate in sports to get what the Bible is saying in these verses. But I have discovered that the experiences do give me additional insight into what the apostle is talking about. But the very first thing we must all understand is that when the apostle and when I talk about running or training, we're not really talking about sports, are we? No, we are not. We are talking about life in Christ. The apostle makes this very clear. Two verses in today's Word of God make this very clear. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Strict training in sports in the ancient world worked toward a crown of laurel leaves. That was the prize. Skip this gold, silver, and bronze stuff. That's modern. In the ancient world, they ran for leaves off a tree. But only one person got it. That was the prize in the ancient games. And the apostle says, we do it. We go into training. We followers of Jesus are in strict training for a crown that will last forever. And following Jesus is not a walk in the garden. It is strict training. Maybe you didn't know that following Jesus required strict training. But it does require strict training. But before I talk about that strict training and why it's necessary, it gives me a chance to talk about two traditions about following Jesus And both of those traditions are alive in the church in America today. We have two very different traditions because they're both in the Bible. And I'm talking about following Jesus. Does a decision to follow Jesus happen in a moment, a quick decision, or does following Jesus require some forethought and planning? In America, we have tended to embrace the momentary decision to follow Jesus. The time to decide is now. The time is now. If you died tonight, do you know where you would be in death? This is the immediacy card. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's just that it's not the only card in the Bible. There are reasons for the immediacy card in following Jesus. Jesus himself seems to play that card. In all the calling of the disciples, the gospel writer Mark even uses the word immediately. When Jesus calls the disciples, they immediately left their boat and followed him. Now, if we think about it, at that point of decision, those disciples really weren't very good disciples, were they? They were going to require training, which they got for 3 years at Jesus' side. But that is one response to Jesus, to immediately follow Jesus, and it's the basis for every Billy Graham crusade ever held. There will be at the end of the meeting a call for a decision right now. But this is not the only tradition. There's another tradition. Here we turn to Jesus' own words. Jesus himself gives four examples of counting the cost before making a decision for Jesus. Considerations one might make before following Jesus. I'll just read two of Jesus' examples from Luke chapter 14. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? Or if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000. Yeah, that is something to consider, something that has to be thought about. Jesus talks about a time frame during which time the narrow door is open for people to enter, a time for consideration. Luke chapter 13, Jesus said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us, but he will answer, I don't know where you come from. You see, the door is open for consideration, for decision. But one day, the door will be closed, and even knocking will not open the door for you to enter into it. Now, where do we see these times of consideration and counting the cost in the church? Well, we have two seasons in the church year, Lent and Advent. These are the two seasons for counting the cost. The Lenten season has been for centuries a time period of preparation for baptism. Rather than immediately coming forward for confession and baptism, the Lenten season was a time period for learning the teachings, for considering baptism, and committing oneself to Jesus Christ. That 40 days before Easter was a time period for that. So at Easter, there were baptisms in the church. And the same has been true for Advent, and baptisms at Christmas are not unknown. The great Saint Augustine pondered for a long time before finally giving in to a decision to follow Jesus Christ. All of that is a long way to explain that we do have a tradition in the church for training. The apostle himself will say in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. What did you think training in righteousness was? Training does remind us that following Jesus takes time and effort. Recently reread Pastor Don Piper's book, and I had 90 Minutes in Heaven and title like After the 90 Minutes in Heaven. And he says, all of life is a preparation. All of life is a preparation. And when you think about it, all of life is a preparation for a move to your permanent home. All of life is a preparation for your move to your permanent home. And this is Jesus' own advice to us about that preparation. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Part of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. Jesus' own instructions on that preparation for our move to our permanent home. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. The work of preparation to follow Jesus. Now, we might find it strange that the apostle can even talk about sports, and if I do say so myself, the apostle talks about sports as if he knows a thing or two. The Olympics, which we now celebrate in modern times, existed for centuries, hundreds of years before Jesus even came on the scene. Tony Perrott says in his book on the ancient Olympics that thousands of people came from all over to attend the games, as many as 40,000 to 70,000 spectators, and most of them had to walk to get to the games. And being a spectator in those days was not easy. They had to bring their own water to drink. Until after 700 years, after the games were established, and they finally built an aqueduct to take water out there. Clearly, the Apostle Paul witnessed with his own two eyes the preparation athletes make for competition. The Apostle talks about running, and he talks about boxing. Both events were some of the most popular in ancient times. The first Olympics were mostly a foot race. The Apostle will talk to the Christian about the Christian life as a run. As a run. He will ask the Galatian church, Galatians 5:7, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? You were running a good race. A foot race? No. The way of following Jesus in truth. That's the race they were running. And Paul asks if someone has cut them off from obeying the truth. NASCAR fans, you know all about being cut off in a race, don't you? The Apostle Paul knew it too. The Apostle himself will say about his own life, in his life of following Jesus, I have finished the race. And the Apostle himself makes references to boxing and running. 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Fought the good fight, finished the race, what is he talking about? Well, he says it. He says, I kept the faith. A good fight, boxing, running a race, finishing the race, keeping the faith. Keeping the faith is not as passive or quiet an activity as we imagine. Keeping the faith is not as quiet an activity as we think it is. I want to move us on to another verse in the book of Hebrews, which also makes a direct reference to running a race in preparation, and that is what we are talking about. Why? Well, my race isn't until the end of the week, next Saturday. I'm just going to read this passage and then read it again, pointing out the sports references in it. Hebrews chapter 12, the first three verses. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, the cloud of witnesses of the saints, right? Those who have gone before us and passed on, received their heavenly reward, are witnesses. But imagine a stadium full of spectators. They too are witnesses. Then come the instructions which I have recently taken to heart. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I would have you notice that the apostle is talking about a race. Our life in Christ is a race set before us. I have learned, I don't decide the route of my race. The race organizers decide that. I don't set out the course of my life in Christ. The Lord God sets the course. God sets the course I have to race on. And I'm saying to you, you do not set out the course of your life in Christ. The Lord God sets your course. Because the apostle says, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. But notice that there are two things that we do to help us run this race in Jesus Christ. Two things that we do in preparation for the race in our life in Christ. First, we throw off everything that hinders. Now, I think the King James Version of the Bible says this better, and the King James Version says it this way. Let's lay aside every weight. Let's lay aside every weight. Remove any heavy articles of clothing. And the ancient Greeks certainly did. They participated in an athletic contest completely naked. That's one reason that Hebrew peoples did not participate in Greek sports. They thought all the nudity was wrong. But the apostles still saw the value in the example. Notice, take off the weight. But he adds to that, and take off the sin that entangles. So the weight is not the sin. There are things that are not sinful that will slow us down in following Jesus. I asked just the other week in prayer, Lord, what are the weights that I carry that slow me down? I know the weight I need to shed for my race. What weight am I carrying in my spiritual life that I need to shed? And the Lord showed me. One of them was my evaluation of myself, which tends toward the negative. It isn't sinful to think poorly of myself, but it is keeping me from running a good race. It's weighing me down. So I need to take it off and put it aside. Then the apostle says, having put the extra weight off, spiritually speaking, the next thing the runner can do and needs to do, throw off the sin that so easily entangles. Notice that it easily entangles. It's easy. We throw off the weight that hinders, and we throw off the sin that entangles. There's nothing worse in a foot race than getting entangled in anything. Getting entangled in anything is horrible. Your feet get tangled up, or your clothes, your arms, your legs. It might literally trip you up. It could pull you down. You might fail to finish the race. We have to throw off the sin that entangles, that so easily entangles us. And with the weight that hinders put off, and the sin that entangles thrown off, we run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Then the apostle looks to Jesus. For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus endured. Jesus persevered for the goal. Jesus endured for the end that was coming, the joy and the throne, just as the runner runs to get the prize. Verse 24. Or as Philippians' letter states, Philippians 3:14, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Press on. Persevere. For the end, the prize. I just remind you that the apostle himself was happy to finish the race. His race of serving Jesus, he was happy to finish. He never claimed to come in first. He ran his life in order to win the prize, but when it was over, he was glad simply to finish. And I know the apostle knows what he's talking about. I have in the sermon notes that you can find, and you can find them on the website. The Bible mentions those, and some by name, who did not finish their race in faith. They began. They began their race in faith. They were not able to finish. So after the training and the preparation, doing what you can do for the race, it is good to finish. Friends, the apostle has written, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Friends, run in such a way for the prize. Finish your race. Amen.